How do you do? Would you like to go for a little walk? Well, how about a long walk through 14 states from Georgia to Maine? More than 2,000 miles of Appalachian Trail. When the man in this story set out to hike the trail, he had a companion, a seeing-eyed dog named Orient. You see, the man was blind. Ask him why he would try something that challenging, and he'll tell you it was because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Can we get across?
Well, we link arms and go slowly. I think we can make it.
How wide is it?
About 30 feet.
How far is the nearest bridge?
Well, there's one on that logging road, but it's more than 5 miles from here.
Well, it's getting late, too. I can feel the temperature dropping.
Yeah.
If you think we can get across, let's go for it.
All right, now keep your boots on so they don't get swept away.
All right.
No, unbuckle your pack in case you have to let go and hurry.
I'm taking my socks off and rolling up my longies as high as possible. I hate being wet.
Well, come on. Now, we better hurry.
I hear rapids.
Yeah, the river has 3 branches. Downstream, then they come together.
Come on, Orion. I'll take your harness off and you can find your own way across. See you on the other side, Orient.
Oh, man, it's freezing cold.
Come on, it's only knee deep here.
Oh, that water's moving.
Yeah, it's getting deeper.
Dave! Help!
This way, Bill!
Help!
Come on, over here!
Oh,
come on! Reach out! Reach out so I can grab your hand! Come on, Bill, you've got to grab something! You're heading for the rapids!
Spreading the good news in 4 languages around the world, this is Unshackled. True life stories for everyone, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Street people get used to being pushed around and called names. So when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, they don't expect kindness. But that's what they receive along with 3 meals a day, fresh clothing, a clean bunk, and medical or dental care if needed. And all given without charge at the old lighthouse. The gifts of those who care make all this possible, and their generosity also enables the mission to offer men, women, and children classes and counseling to help them break free of the habits and attitudes that keep them in a life of futility. The goal is to lead them into a life of purpose and integrity. And those who choose new life are called by a new name, one above all others. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2552 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. At the age of 28, the man in this story had his left eye removed because of a tumor. By the age of 36, he was totally blind. He had been divorced 4 times and was hopelessly addicted to alcohol and women when, in 1988, his life dramatically changed. In the conclusion of a 2-part story, he tells why he hiked the Appalachian Trail and almost didn't survive. This is the true story of Bill Irwin and his dog Orient, right now on Unshackled.
It was raining on March 8, 1990, the 3rd anniversary of my sobriety, the day I wanted to start hiking the Appalachian Trail. My dog and I hitched a ride with a man who spent several hours trying to find the trailhead in the mountains of northern Georgia.
Well, this is as far as I go, Bill. Either you get out here and find the trail, or I'll take you back to town.
All right.
Well, maybe someone else knows where it is and can bring you back up here.
I want to start hiking today, Marvin. Thanks for bringing us on up. Come on, Orient.
Say, there's a white blaze on the tree behind you.
Thanks again.
Oh, I forgot to ask which way was north, Orient, and we can't use the sun for direction. Lord, you know which way north is, and we don't. Will you please let one of us know? It doesn't matter which one you tell. We started up the old woods road, and within a few hundred feet, Orient turned left so suddenly, I almost lost my balance. For the next 3 days, we walked in the rain, stopping at shelters for the night. Psalm 32, verse 8 encouraged me. I will instruct thee, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. On the 4th day, the sun came out, and a man on the trail said I was headed north. From then on, I knew that God was leading us. Still, there were times that I was discouraged.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, kind of discouraged.
Oh, rain does that to you. I'm Patty.
I'm Bill, and this is Orient. Our trail name is Orient Express.
You're a through hiker.
Well, not at the rate we're going. This is our fourth day out, and my dog is already limping. I feel guilty because his pack doesn't fit right. He's hardly eating.
Well, Neil's gap is just a few miles up the trail. Maybe you can get his pack fixed there.
I'm going to get a motel room, too. That's wimping out, I know, but I need a hot shower and a dry bed.
I was a through hiker a few summers ago, and I did that. It's not a sign of weakness.
I'm going to offload some gear and mail it back home. I'm way overpacked.
A lot of through hikers do that. We all start out with too much.
And then there's these foot destroyers called boots. Maybe when my toenails fall off, they won't hurt so much.
You can get better ones in Neil's cab.
You're a real encouragement, Patty.
Phil, how'd your knees get so bloody?
Well, I'm blind. I lost count of the times I've fallen already.
You look like a guy who's going to make it all the way to Maine.
A lot of people couldn't tell I was blind. As word spread, they'd come up to me on the trail and say, "Have you seen a blind man with his dog?" And I'd say, "Well, he's about a mile behind me." At Neil's Gap, a woman modified Orient's pack while I lightened my own load of extraneous things. Then I called Carolyn, the leader of my support team.
So it hasn't gone exactly as you expected.
Oh, downhill is worse than uphill. Every time I put my foot down, I wonder, will I slide or trip or sink in the mud? Orient can't help it, but I keep falling down.
What if he gets lost, Bill?
He won't get lost, Carolyn. God is leading him, I'm convinced. Poor guy, his pack rubbed him raw, so I'm going to carry it till he's healed.
What do I do with the stuff you're mailing back to me?
Well, mail it back to me as I need it. I sent you instructions and addresses in the package.
Some of the news media have called. They want to intercept you and get pictures.
I hope they don't catch me.
But you're still planning to go all the way?
I'll hike until God tells me to stop, Carolyn. Fewer than 10% of the people who try make it. With God's help, I will. Our first day back on the trail ended with getting lost, looking for water. We found the stream a couple of hikers told us about and filled our canteen, but couldn't find our way back to where I'd left my backpack. It was dark, and I was freezing by the time Orient led me to the place where I thought the hikers had stopped for the night.
Oh, Lord, I hope somebody hears me. Bill! Bill the blind man! I'm freezing!
What are you doing out here?
We got lost looking for water and couldn't find our campsite.
What, you got water? Oh, great man. Come on, we ran out. Come on in our tent and we'll make you some hot tea.
I don't even have my sleeping bag.
Look, we'll find your pack tomorrow, all right? You can sleep between us tonight. Come on, we'll keep you warm somehow.
I tried to cover up with leaves, but they were wet.
Oh, is it a good thing you found us? You passed the first stage of hypothermia. Why, you'd have died out here tonight.
Orient ate part of our supper that night since his food was also in my pack. Those hikers saved my life, and I thank God they were there. The first of many times someone was there at the right moment. Now, you may call it coincidence. I say it was God at work, maintaining his anonymity. The next day, I tried to explain that to a reporter from the Atlanta newspaper.
Say, Bill, how does Orient stay on the trail anyway?
Well, I think he follows the scent of other hikers. Sometimes I can follow their scent, too.
How about some more tea?
All right.
You know, most people hike the Appalachian Trail for the beauty. What do you get out of it, Bill?
Well, I have a different vision. For example, I can tell by the wind whether I'm surrounded by deciduous trees or pine trees. And I smell the rain coming long before the clouds cover the sun. This is God's world, and he's in control. I'm just a guest passing through.
What's the real reason you're making this trek?
3 years ago, I was a hopeless drunk. The Lord delivered me from that and so much more. I wanted to do something to draw attention to him and his power.
Oh, so this is some kind of spiritual journey.
Well,
you're doing this hike for God.
I guess the Lord put the trail here to show other people and me what he can do. Now, my job is to show up for work every day and let him lead. He gives me the strength I need. When I am discouraged, I remember Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Publicity gathered steam as more news reporters, some in helicopters, wanted interviews. I didn't want their attention to detract from the purpose of the hike, and I began to dread their intrusion as much as I dreaded falling, or rain, or mosquitoes, or getting lost, or any of the other trail impediments. One day, I met the one thing every hiker fears. Hello there. How far to the next shelter? Oh, if that's a bear in front of us, Orient, don't you move. And I'll keep talking. That's what the ranger told us to do, right? Now you stay calm. And I'll try to do the same. I want you to know, Mr. Bear, that my food bag is about empty, and I haven't seen a candy bar in days. I'm just passing through, and I promise not to eat any of your berries, okay? My furry friend beside me is not a bear. He's a dog, and I need him if you want me to get down on the trail and out of your way. You see, I'm blind and very harmless, actually. Lord, would you please tell him to move on? Well, when the bear finally crashed off into the woods, the silence was wonderful. Orient and I were crossing some of the roughest terrain in the eastern half of the U.S., exposed to every kind of hazard, but we made our way through North Carolina and into Virginia. And that's when Carolyn received an anonymous phone call one morning in June.
Are Bill and Orient all right?
Well, as far as I know, do you have some reason to think they're not okay?
Well, I heard a report of a trail accident involving them.
Is Orient hurt?
Worse than that.
Is Bill hurt?
Worse.
Oh, no.
Well, a message came from a reliable source saying Orient was hurt and Bill was dead.
We'll hear more about that in just a moment. Thanksgiving is not an easy time for the homeless. Their hearts are not filled with joy as they reflect on the events leading up to this day. Memories of their family gathering around the table to share a turkey dinner makes their own lonely condition seem more unbearable. And that's why at Pacific Garden Mission, we try to make Thanksgiving a special day for street people by fixing a traditional turkey dinner with all the trimmings, free to anyone who has no home, provided by folks who love to share. Friends of the Old Lighthouse, help us with this by donating non-perishable canned goods or money to buy them and the turkeys. If you'd like to be part of this outreach, we welcome all donations. What a wonderful way to express your thanks to God who provides all that we have throughout the year. To help the homeless this Thanksgiving, send your gift to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
Hello?
Carolyn, the reports of my demise were greatly exaggerated.
Bill, are you all right? Where are you?
I'm fine. I'm at a ranger station in Virginia. They don't know how the rumor started, but they were about to send out a search party.
Oh, what a relief.
They gave me a free lunch and a half gallon of ice cream to eat. Maybe I could arrange those rumors more often.
Don't you dare.
I did have a real scare last week, though. Oh. I let Orient off the harness one afternoon, and he disappeared for several hours. I was really worried. Some other hikers helped me find him.
God is watching over you, Bill, sometimes in spite of yourself.
But through hikers are just like family. We keep meeting each other on the trail. We hike together a few days or share a meal. Some of them really need the Lord.
How are you holding up?
Oh, I'm always glad to get off the trail and sleep in a real bed, but God is faithful. Through hikers were like family. They shared food, water, tents, whatever was needed at the moment. I loved the solitude when Orient and I walked alone, praising God. But I also loved the long evenings when we sat around the campfire with family.
Look at Orient, curled up on my sleeping bag.
Oh, yeah, he's a connoisseur of bags and glad to be in out of the rain.
Well, he's not the only one. Why do we do this to ourselves?
Hmm?
Blisters, backache, and sometimes broken bones.
Yeah, well, don't forget the mice and mosquitoes.
Yeah, but then you have the solitude, the times when you stand still and there's absolutely no sound anywhere. Where else can you find that? See? God agrees.
Yeah.
You sure have a good attitude for a guy who falls all the time.
Well, the Lord knows how to teach humility, doesn't he? People talk about doing a reality check. I think we need an attitude check. Are we thanking God for the way he provides or complaining all the time?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
All I know is I met some great people on this hike. I slid off a mountain in Tennessee and grabbed a sapling just in time. Another hiker pulled me out of danger. That was God's doing. Every day he shows me his love. We walk by faith, not by sight. God brought all kinds of people into my life on the trail. One man had just lost his father and was grieving. I shared Christ with him. Another man hiked with me for several days, and I knew he had something on his mind because he hinted several times. Around the campfire one night, he opened up.
Bill, there's something I'd like to tell you.
Oh?
I've never told anyone about this. A few years ago, I had a relationship that was wrong, and I felt confused and guilty ever since. I find myself drinking to avoid dealing with it. I feel like my life is ruined, that God could never forgive me.
Philip, when I was a boy, an older relative molested me, and I was afraid to tell anyone, too. For years, I was angry and confused. I became an alcoholic and a womanizer. But there's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to carry guilt and shame around. Jesus died on the cross to set you free of that. There's no sin God won't forgive if you ask him. If you truly repent and believe that Christ died for you, the Bible says God will forgive and accept you.
Do you think so?
The Bible says so in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't go to the cross for good people because there aren't any. He went for sinners like you and me. Everybody's a sinner.
Bill, you've made me feel a lot better.
God has a way of taking whatever's broken in our lives and making something good of it. But first, you have to invite him into your heart and life. Every day I knew without a doubt that God was in charge. In late June, we reached the halfway point where a vet examined Orient and pronounced him in excellent health. We covered the next four states in a month, though I fell and cracked a rib. I reached Vermont in mid-August and New Hampshire in mid-September. But the days were getting shorter and the nights cooler, and I still had hundreds of miles to go. I was hiking with a writer named Dave.
Well, I guess Orient met his match on that mountain, didn't he?
The rocks were just too steep for him, Dave. I'm beat from boosting him up so many times.
Well, now we face the White Mountains. About 20 more peaks.
I hope I have enough ibuprofen for my aching body.
Oh, come on. You're doing great, Bill.
A lot of people have said I won't get past the 100-mile wilderness, but I've heard things like that the whole trip.
Hey, what do you think about climbing Mount Katahdin now instead of at the end when the weather will be icy?
I've been praying about it.
Well, any hiker do that and then reverse direction, walking south to complete the trail.
I don't want to go south. I want to finish in the same direction I started.
You better talk to the director of Baxter State Park. Yeah, he's been there 30 years, and he knows the danger.
Carolyn here.
Hi, Carolyn.
Oh.
We're in Stratton, Maine, only 184 miles to go.
Bill, the director of Baxter State Park called.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to climb Mount Katahdin now. Otherwise, you won't be allowed to finish the hike later. The park is officially closed, but he'll let you make the climb now and then finish the rest of the trail.
I'll pray about it.
Prayer is good, but God speaks through people, too, Bill, especially when they care about you. He said the weather is already rough on the mountain. By November, it'll be icy.
I'll talk to him. On October 23rd, I climbed Mount Katahdin, Maine, which is at the end of the Appalachian Trail. Friends drove me to the base of the mountain and climbed with me as 3 inches of rain fell. Going down was treacherous, so waiting until November would have been deadly. Then we were driven back to finish the rest of the hike. Orient and I were alone when snow trapped us for 3 days in a cabin on Mount Bigelow. We ran out of firewood and went out to hunt for some. The ranger said there was a woodshed out here somewhere, Orient. Maybe we can find it. Oh, praise God, you found it.
Boy, am I glad to see you.
Well, who are you?
It's Art, and Peter's right behind me.
Hey, Peter, I found them. Go back down and tell everyone they're safe.
Well, the snow was too deep to hike out. I was up to my hips, and Orient was up to his shoulders.
Oh, we figured you were snowbound somewhere, so we set out this morning to search.
Oh, come on into the cabin and get warm. All we have to eat is oatmeal. Even Orient is out of food.
Listen, Bill, you can't keep going alone.
Well, Dave's meeting me at Pierce Pond, and he'll hike the rest of the way with me.
But there's at least a dozen rivers to cross. There's no way you can make it. You guys will freeze.
I've heard that the whole trip, Art. I can't quit now. There's only 150 miles to go. Dave and I linked up again and headed out November 4th. Ferry service had ended across the mighty Kennebec River, but we had some mild weather, and someone took us across by turns in a canoe. Then Indian summer ended with 2 days of snow, and we faced a river crossing that nearly took our lives. Halfway across, we were separated when Dave was swept off his feet, and I was pulled under and almost carried down the rapids. Somehow, I grabbed a branch on the bank.
Come on. Come on, here, let me help.
Oh, thank God the branch held.
Yeah.
You made it. Good dog, good dog, good dog.
We've got to set up camp before we freeze. Sun is gone, Bill.
Right here, come on. You have some more hot tea.
We could have died today. It's a miracle we still have our packs.
Yeah, we have 10 more rivers to go, too.
Oh, my God.
And the trail doesn't cross a paved road or come near a town or telephone anywhere in the next 100 miles.
I've prayed about it, Dave, and I think we should keep going north.
I'm with you all the way.
Art has a 4-wheel drive, and he offered to help us any way he could. Bring supplies, rescue us, whatever.
Good, good.
He has a map of logging roads that intersect the trail. Maybe I'll call him when we get to the next town.
Right.
We arranged to meet Art along the trail, but somehow missed each other the first time. Snow and rain slowed our pace and made us miserable. More rivers to cross, more freezing cold. Sometimes we couldn't find the trail. I stepped through ice on a bog and sank in halfway to my knees. The cold water filled my boots, but we didn't dare stop in the wind. We hiked 14 hours that day before coming to a lean-to after dark.
My fingers are so numb, I can't take off my boots.
All right, here, come on, let me help you, buddy.
I've lost all feeling in my feet.
Now, you give me that sleeping bag. I'll fix some hot cocoa.
Yes.
That wind let up. Now, I think it's the tail end of that hurricane.
Let's not cross any more rivers. I believe the Lord wants us to finish, but we have to be smart about it.
I agree, Harry. That's foolish to put ourselves in these life-threatening situations.
I would have died without you, Dave.
Art devised a plan that led us 50 miles on logging roads with bridges over the rivers, and on November 17th, we finished the 100-mile wilderness. We had 30 miles to go. Art met us and drove us to the next town, where I was invited to speak to the children at church on Sunday. Do you children see this sign here on this paper? Now that's called a blaze. And that's how hikers follow the Appalachian Trail all the way from Georgia on up to Maine. I think Orient has learned to follow that blaze. Now, if a person ignores those white marks, they won't do him a bit of good, will they? Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if it was that easy to find your way in life? Just follow the blaze from one goal to the next. Well, God has marked the trail for us. His blazes are in the Bible. So you read your Bible, and he'll get you through each day and lead you to eternal life. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." On November 21st, the day before Thanksgiving, Orient and I finished our hike on the Appalachian Trail in Baxter State Park. There were about 100 people who joined us the last 2 miles, including news crews, friends, and family. But the most important one there had been with me all along, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can lead me, a blind man, on more than 2,000 miles of wilderness trail, think where he could take you.
According to Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ said he came to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Friend, if you would like to have new life in Christ, pray with us right now. Lord, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and my sins died with you. I believe you rose from the dead just as you will raise me from my dead past. Thank you for making me clean. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Even now, I believe you are changing me, giving me strength to follow you, in Jesus' name. My friend, if you prayed with us, read the Bible, find a Bible-teaching church, and let us know so we can send you some literature to help you walk in your faith. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. And visit our website at www.unshackled.org. This is program number 2552. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd like to know if you hear and enjoy these stories, so please write today. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Anytime you need a friend, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.